This morning's preachers are joining us all the way from Devon. Ray Ursel, as you can see, is in my bottom left-hand corner. I don't know where he is with yours.
Nope.
And it over to Ray. And we've got Michael Pollard as a guest, who's joining us from Mill Lane Church in Lee.
Oh, welcome.
Lovely. Thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
And it's good to see Janice again.
And Doreen.
Okay, so...
Right. Hello. Yeah, it's good to see you as well.
Yeah, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me, Mother?
If you mute me, you can't. It's okay. First of all, a very warm welcome to our service. This is the first Zoom meeting I've done, and I'm not sure whether it's University Challenge or the Muppet Show.
Bit of each,
yeah. So we come to worship and we carry on from Rob's theme in the newsletter, which was very simply that today is Plough Sunday. Didn't know that, did you?
No.
Yeah.
Until you read it in the newsletter.
Yeah.
Yes.
But how many people know that tomorrow is Plough Monday? And Plough Monday is the first working day after the 12 days of Christmas. So it's the beginning of the agricultural new year.
Right.
And they used to bring in the plough into the church, and they used to bring the seeds in, and the farmers came in, and it was a day to dedicate the skills and the tools to God in his service. And that's what I'd like us to think about this morning, bringing our tools, our gifts, and we can decide to commit them to God in his service. For those who are a bit older, of course, you can wave the tools that you have, which will be a pension box. Anyway, we start our first hymn, and just as we do, we can read the words, and those of you who want to mute and sing, feel free, you're allowed to do it, apparently. And we plough the fields and scatter, and towards the end of the hymn, it says, accept the gifts we offer for all your loving parts. We come now, Lord, to give you our humble, thankful hearts. So let's listen to this hymn, and those who want to can sing along. And okay,
if somebody's got a mute all button.
Got a what button?
We power things and
Ray, you'll need to unmute yourself.
Am I unmuted? Yeah. Loads and loads of right. So, what I'd like that we do this morning is look at then, now, and next. So, then is how it was, now is how it is, and next is how it's going to be. And just to give you a clue, you can't change the first and the second, but you can change the third. So although there are those who believe they can change history, I haven't found a way yet. And I think about Joshua chapter 24. We all know that, don't we? Yeah. Joshua 24 is where Joshua gathers all the tribes together and tries to encourage them to serve God in the future. If you remember, he's been through and conquered the promised land, places like Jericho and all sorts of things like that. And along the way, the people have generally followed, but more than occasionally have turned away from God. And Joshua's getting old. He's about to go into endless retirement. And he gets the churches together, or he gets the tribes together, and he says, look, it's like this. Look at everything that God's done for you. Isn't God good? And he said, you've achieved an awful lot, but it wasn't you, you know, it was God. And so he says, what we're going to do now, he said, I'm going and you're on your own. You've demanded that you want kings, so I guess we're going to get a king. But what I'd like you to do is to make a covenant, going back to last Sunday's service, a covenant with God to serve him and follow him. And he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so we've got this position where the children of Israel are saying, yeah, yeah, they're all wound up and they say, we'll serve God. And he says, you won't, you know, you'll just do the same thing again and again. And they said, no, we will serve the Lord. And eventually he said, well, based on what you said, let's build a memorial here in the desert, and it will stand in your judgment if you go against God. But what Joshua did, he looked back to say, isn't God good? Look at everything that he's done for you. And now he says, look around now. We're all here by God's goodness. And now what's in the future? And we see there now that he's saying, this is a decision you can make to change the future. So we're going to have a few prayers of praise. I wonder if we can do a global unmute, or does everybody have to unmute themselves individually?
Everybody would have to unmute themselves individually.
How would you like to all unmute yourself? See little red lights going off and on and off. And yeah. We're nearly all there. Because what I'd like us to do is just do what we've done in the church sometimes. We just have one line prayers, which says, thank you, God, because. And we thank God for everything that he's done for us, remembering and looking back. Now, you're going to look back over last year and you're going to say that was a bit of a disaster, wasn't it? But you know, God has taken us through last year. He's been faithful and he's supported us and he's encouraged us. And he's got us to use skills and use ideas that we've never used before. So So we're just going to have a short time of prayer. And it'd be really good if just one or two of you could just say, thank you, God, because. Shall we pray?
Thank you, God, for your faithfulness and love and having brought us through the pandemic and all its disasters. And thank you for those who've cared for us. Amen.
Thank you for those who continue to work day in and day out, those nursing staff, doctors, those who work in the pharmaceutical industry, all striving to find solutions for all our current health problems. Mm-hmm. We thank you for their commitment and their dedication. Amen.
Thank you that God has been with all the scientists who have been developing the vaccines, that they progressed it so quickly and actually got the vaccines available within months. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have the vaccine. It was like getting an early birthday present, and I was so delighted with it. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that we can still enjoy your beautiful environment, that we're able to go for walks and to refresh and replenish our spirits. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful world you've given to us. Amen.
Thank you, God, for keeping us together as a church, enabling us to meet in this way. Even though we're not there in the flesh, we're in the spirit, and we know that you too are in the spirit with us. Thank you, God.
Thank you for families. Though we don't see them, we know that they think of us. Thank you, Lord.
So, Father, we thank you for our prayers of praise. And we thank you for everything that you've done for us, particularly this last year. And we thank you that you've brought us closer together as a fellowship. So bless each one now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we move from then, and we can think as much as we want about the last year, and we can say, wasn't it awful? And the year before, which seemed okay. But let's think about now. So about now, we need to have our reading.
Okay. Which is
Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14.
I've volunteered myself for this because it looked easy, but I've now found it's not so easy. But it looked an easy reading. I can share my screen back again. Oops. Right, so I've found the words on the screen because it's to help you read it, because it's not easy for you all to get your Bibles, and I will do my best to read it. It looks easy, but it's not. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that, for that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it.
Sorry.
But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. We're at the end of the year, the Residents Association, you know, the accountant.
Thank you for that. You made it sound easy. Stop being modest. So it's today. It's Plough Sunday for the farmers. It's Church Sunday for the ministers. It's Hospital Sunday for the doctors and nurses, and so on. So we think about today, and for Paul, he was there in prison. That's today for him. And he could look back and think, I wish I'd never got here. But he knew he was there because God wanted him there. And he said, this is Paul, the most senior religious person or Christian at the time. Just look at the state of mind. I want to know Christ. And you would have thought that, why would he say a thing like that? He obviously doesn't know Christ. He's there preaching the gospel. He's in prison. He's got a captive audience. And most of them have become Christians. That's all the guards. He's highly regarded, even though he's in prison. A lot of people are praying for him. A lot of people are sending him gifts. But starting point for today is, I want to know Christ. And I sense that he's saying, I want to know Christ a lot better than I think I do. I want to get really close to him. I want to understand and be involved so closely that it is as though I died with him. This is Paul. This is today for Paul. And he says, suiting the action to the word, I'm going to start this race to get the prize. And we all know about Olympics and running for prizes. You don't look back. In fact, if you got a plough, you don't look back. Because what happens? You go off course. You slow down. You become inefficient. So the farmers would say, keep looking at the goal. Keep looking forward at the end of the furrow that you're going to plough. Paul says, don't look back. Keep going forward. I'm sure that the people who've developed the virus or the vaccine have said, don't look back. Keep going. We've got a goal and we have to meet it. And I'm sure that's one of the reasons why the timescales have been so compressed. So this is today. And where are we today? Well, I'm in Devon. And isn't God good that I can sit here and share fellowship with you in Grappenhall? And even there, you're in your own homes. You see, God invents the rules, we merely follow them. The farmers don't grow anything. The farmers plough, and then they put seed in, and God makes the seed grow. Those are the rules, he said. If you've got seed and you put it in the ground, it'll grow. You just need to look after it a little bit. So today, we shouldn't be looking back. We should be looking forward. And what does 2021 hold for us? Well, my guess is it holds a few more months of what we've been used to. Lockdown, supporting each other in different ways. But don't look back. Find new ways to work together, to have fellowship together, to support each other. So we keep going, looking forward and moving forward. Just out of interest, I went on the site, I looked at Google for Plough Sunday. And clearly this is an Anglican thing. And all the churches that I saw, except for one, have said, this year we're going to do this online. Durham have decided to cancel Plough Sunday. I don't know why, but they obviously aren't looking forward, as the other churches are saying, we're still going to do this, even though we have to do it differently. So we bring our gifts and put them down in front of you, and sometimes they're tangible. You know, you don't miss a plough. And it says on there, people were bringing stethoscopes. People were bringing, you know, their computers. The tools that they used to serve God and to commit to using them to serve God during this year. And let's not get worried about the next 25 years. Let's just think about 2021. What are we going to do for God in 2021? And we're old. Some of us are anyway. No, some of you are. Well, no, we're not. But we can't do what we did 50 years ago. Does that matter? Of course it doesn't. God takes the gift. He takes the seed. He takes the plough. He takes and he blesses it and he multiplies. So have we got our gifts with us today? Have we thought about what we're going to do this year for God? Well, we're going to have another hymn now, which is In Full and Glad Surrender, I Give Myself to Thee. And the clue's in the words. Now, people have often said, the problem with hymns is you get hung up on the tune and you never read the words. And this is good because it lets us read the words on the screen, I hope. So over to you, Brenda. Thank you. We haven't had any notices or fellowship update. I don't know if you got any notices.
Wrong. Yeah. Well, basically, we made the decision yesterday that because of the situation with the pandemic, that we would continue with Zoom services only until at least the second Sunday in February. Personally, I suspect we may have to go beyond that, but with the increasing rates of infection and the call for people to stay at home, for people to stay safe, I think it's proper of us to keep people where we are safe and not bring them out. I know that's unfortunate for some people who don't have internet access, but I think it's the right thing to do. And I noted that Brendan texted me last night that St Wilfrid's have also closed services as well. So, and it seems to be something which is happening voluntarily by the churches at the moment. I suspect in the next day or two it'll be compulsory, because anybody who's been watching the news this morning, they're talking about lots of activities which are continuing at the moment, which are likely to be closed very soon in an effort to get on top of this pandemic. That we're very thankful that a number of members of our congregation have already received the vaccine. It speaks of our age profile a bit. Those of us a bit younger are yearning for it, if that's the word. So next week, Frank will be taking the service and it'll be on Zoom. The following week is Sue, if I remember rightly, and then the week after that. And Michael, while you've joined us, how do you fancy, I'm not putting you on the spot here a bit, how do you fancy taking the service on Zoom? At some point, speak to me afterwards, don't speak to me now. Give me some thought. All you got to do is speak. Brenda provides all the music and does all the rest of it. But as you were a regular preacher at our church until quite recently, it'd be nice to see you again taking the service. So anyway, think about it. We'll come back. And we got a quiz on Tuesday night. Jill just prompted me. 8 o'clock. I think that's the time. So same access details. So if you want to spend an hour on quizzing, please join us on Tuesday evening. It should last an hour. Kath's prepared the questions, haven't you, Kath? She's nodding her head, yes. She's muted, but she's nodding her head. Apart from that, there's not a lot to say. The weather looks like it's going to be a little bit better this week, a little less ice under the foot. But if anybody needs anything, please don't hesitate to make a contact and ask for help. Anne, could you ask all cluster leaders to advise everybody that, you know, church is closed for the foreseeable future, that everything was done on Zoom? So if we could pass that message down to the cluster leaders, the people who are not on this call, I'd be grateful for that. I think that's about it. Back to you, Ray.
Okay, then, thanks, yeah. Got a little bit of homework for you, but you don't need to hand it in. Just like you to think and look for any references to ploughs in the scripture. Yeah? Things like unequally yoked, things like not looking back. And you never know, you might find in the Old Testament in Hezekiah that it talks about Plough Sunday. You just never know. So now we come to next. And we've got loads and loads of things in scripture about what to do next. Encouragements, examples. And I'm just going to pick a couple. The first one is Joshua, of course. Joshua, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a very black and white statement, no sitting on the fence. And he knew himself that he wouldn't be alive for much longer. He was going to be with God. But he committed him and his house to serve the Lord in the future. So that's one example of making the commitment. The next one is Isaiah. Do you remember Isaiah when he went into the temple in the year that King Uzziah died? And he saw God. And what did he say? He said, here am I, send me. Isaiah, again, a very, very senior person, the prophet. And he's saying, here am I, send me. You would have thought that would have happened years ago, wouldn't you? But he wants to refresh his commitment from yesterday to today. Here am I today, send me. And then we got Philippians. Paul, the leader of, effectively the leader of the Gentiles. He went and specialised, God sent him to the Gentiles, and he's founded so many churches, and he looked after them by writing letters and revisiting. And him, in his current sort of position, said, I want to know Christ. Can we say that this morning, I wonder? I want to know Christ. I want to know what he wants me to do, and I want to do it in that order. Not conditionally, not I want to know what it wants me to do, and then maybe I will do it and maybe I won't. I want to know Christ, and I'm going to press towards that mark, and I'm going to make sure I get there, and I'm not going to be deflected by anyone. I'm going to go and follow Jesus. Philippians 3 is usually thought of as Christ, my goal. And Paul makes very clear that his formal qualifications and anything that happened in the past doesn't count for him. He's only interested in now and next. I press towards the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the King James Version, and it's the very first verse I ever learnt in Sunday school. So it has to be in every sermon at least. But what about us? We're talking Grappenhall. We're talking Devon. We're talking God's work. And it's the same God's work, whether it's in Devon, Grappenhall, even, can I say, Mill Lane? But I won't. What are we going to do for God? Why don't we make a list of all the things that we could do? Why don't we put it in front of God and say, you tell me which to do and I'll do it? I've been running a series of articles in the magazine, which you might or might not have picked up on, called It's 2020 Vision, which maybe needs to be renamed. But it's about aspects of ministry. Now, one of the articles I talked, and I had Grappenhall in mind as I wrote it. You go into the church and it's warm and welcoming. Even in lockdown, it's warm and it's welcoming. There are flowers. We've seen the flowers. We've had comments about the flowers. What a skill to be able to put flowers in so they look just like art, that you think, can you turn this picture off and put them back up again? There's people who've obviously prepared the music or play the music. There are those who put the notices together and keep the administration of the church going. There are those who stand up in the pulpit. And we've always thought in the past, you know, that ministry is about being in the pulpit. I believe all of us are ministers and all of us have a ministry in our location. We're here to serve God. And whether it's keeping the church clean and tidy, whether it's standing up in front of 5,000 people and speaking, doesn't matter. It's the same ministry. And as I was thinking last time, and when the new magazine comes out, I realized that there are more ministries that I hadn't even considered. One of them is food banks. So Dave Hughes from our Atherton church, he runs a food bank, as does David MacDonald. And Dave's written an article to go in the aspects of ministry title. I'm going to be asking somebody soon about street pastors, the people that go out there and help in difficult situations. so many things. Let's not blinker ourselves by saying the minister is the only one who has a ministry. We all have a ministry before God. Now, this church, our church, has some needs. You know about those needs, don't you? We do meet every couple of weeks and we do talk about the needs and how can we help, what can we do. But this is a time now where we can come to another time of prayer. And if you can reach for the button to unmute yourself, I'm just going to ask you to just take the mute off your system. And then what we'll do is just have one line, as if you want to, of things that you want God to help us with. Or if not, just be silent and bring those people or those situations to your mind. So we'll just have a few moments now of prayers of intercession. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for everything that you're going to do for us in this coming year.
Father, we think of the new challenges that lie ahead of us when things begin to reopen, when we start to do things collectively and meet together again. A whole new world will be possible. We trust that you'll be with us on that walk.
Lord, help us to recognise the needs of our community and do whatever we can to help those in need at these difficult times. Amen.
Lord, we think of the children who are being deprived of school at the moment, particularly those who are disadvantaged by the fact that they don't have the technology to be online. We think of all children who are deprived of sharing time with their peers and the isolation. And we pray that schools will be back as soon as possible.
Lord, one of the most difficult of ministries is to stand up and stand out and stand for your name, who you are, and the promise of your name. For this ministry encourages so many others to do likewise. And I thank you, Lord, for the gift to do that.
Pray, Lord, that you will help us, help me to put aside the cares of self, but to think of the cares of others and to step out in your strength to share your word, not only to those who are suffering through the illness and weakness and frailty, but to those who think they are safe, trusting in things of the world. May they realise and come to know and hear that there is only one who is so secure and faithful and can keep us from the dangers, your Son Jesus Christ. Help us to share him and the good news throughout in our own areas throughout this next year. Amen.
And so, Father, we thank you that we can bring our request to you. We've seen in Scripture so many times you answer in a way often that we don't ever expect. So we ask that you'll take all our needs and our thoughts of others in the fellowship. And we ask that you'll, Lord, do your noble thing, that you'll handle the situations in the way that you would. And we thank you for your support. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And now we're going to have a hymn, which is our closing hymn. which is, O Thou Who Camest From Above. Now, this hymn is a continuum. It goes from verse to verse and builds up, as opposed to some other hymns that are just almost random and you could sing them in any order. This has to be sung in the order it's written. But verse 4 is, to me, very special. Ready for all thy perfect will, my acts of love, faith, and love repeat, till death thine endless mercy seal and make the sacrifice complete. Thank you. So thank you for coming this morning. I'll nip out the back and be ready to shake hands as you go out or something. And I hope you have a very blessed week. We'll just say the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen.
Amen. Dr.